I apologize for my voice. I've been sick for a number of days, and so anyway, it's going to sound funny. But the good news is that I should be able to go just long enough to get my 45 minutes in for the sermon today. I'm competing with the choir. So, since I've been kind of sick this week, I've had time to read. And so, because I'm a sailor, I spend a lot of time reading about that. And I have this book I read. It's Brian Toss's Book of Rigging. It's all about ropes and blocks and how to rig things and how to tie things up. Whole nine yards. It's just exciting stuff. No? It's really neat. It's sort of the Bible of rigging. And in the middle of the book, there was this great story or a great technique. He finally taught me how to do you remember the Indian rope trick where you play and it stands up? Brian Toss teaches that particular skill. So I thought, I practiced it all week because I didn't have anything else to do. I was sick. And I thought, how much that's like the Holy Spirit. So I thought I would do it for you today. Are you ready? This is big stuff. I have a little stage fright because this doesn't always come out absolutely perfect. But we'll do the best that we can. Okay, so I got to kind of prepare the rope. Get it all set up just right. Mary probably, if she look closely, would recognize this rope. Used to be the traveler. Okay, so here we go. So I'm going to make this rope stand up straight on its own. Are you ready? Okay, almost ready. Have to get it just right. All right. Listen, it doesn't always work the first time. Brian says, don't be nervous. You can make it happen if you work hard enough at it. You got to get the rope just right. Hang on. We'll get it. Just be not afraid. Imagine how much I liked that psalm. That was nice, yeah. Didn't help my rope trick, but all right, hang on. All right, is ready. Can you see? It's going to work this time. All right, last time, and then I have to change my sermon because it won't work. I have an alternative one on the iPad. It'll be fine. Okay, this time it is absolutely going to work. Okay. I don't do any of the magic words or anything because that's all just show. Okay, you ready? Here it's. Okay, now I can feel it starting to stiffen up a little bit. It's perfect. Ready? Here it goes. So here's the deal with the Holy Spirit. It's all around us and moving through us in the church. It's always self-evident, just like gravity. But we have all kinds of expectations about what the Holy Spirit in our midst would look like. We expect it to be remarkable and flashy and just amaze and wow us. I mean, if I'd have pulled that off really and held that thing up there, you'd have just gone, wow. But don't you find the fact that you stick to the earth quite fascinating as well? The problem with our understanding in the Lutheran Church of the Holy Spirit is that we don't see things quite the right way. And in fact, the whole purpose of that trick is simply to hold it with the correct hand, right? If I hold it with this hand, then it falls. But if I hold it with this hand, it stands straight. It's the same trick, seen a different way. So I got to thinking, how do we see the Holy Spirit? Or how have I seen the Holy Spirit in my life? What have I been missing? David Lowes, in his commentary for this week on Working Preacher, talks about how so often we don't even recognize the Spirit when it's among us. We don't lift it up. We don't even see it any more than we see all the rest of what God is doing in the world. So I went back and I thought, when have I seen that Holy Spirit but didn't recognize it? And I thought back to when I was 11 years old. Someone asked me, what do you want to be when you grow up? And without missing a beat, I said, I'm going to be a pastor. Now, you should have seen the look on their face. Because trust me, no one in their right mind would have thought at 11 that I would be a pastor. They asked me again at 14, and they thought it was even less likely. At 17, it seemed impossible. And yet, here I am. I never thought about that as the work of the Holy Spirit. But if you knew my family and my brothers and our history, it could hardly be anything else. But I never saw it that way. And yet God sent the right people, the right church, the right seminary, the right bishops, so that I could be called to do this work. The Holy Spirit was there, but I don't think I ever saw it. I certainly didn't hold it in my hands in a way that I could recognize it. I got my first call to St. John Lutheran in Athol, Kansas. Middle of the plains in nowhere, Kansas. 68 people in the town, 200 people in the pews, 90 miles to buy a pair of men's shoes. But I could get 10,000 bushels of wheat across the street. These old German farmers had persisted there in the Kansas plains for 100 years. They had no business coming together every Sunday to worship God. And yet there they were in the middle of nowhere in literally the oldest county in the United States, still hearing the gospel. And one day, they invited a group of people from Kansas City, all African Americans, to come and to worship with them and to stay in their homes. Steve Uhlberg and I were convinced that we were doing a great social engineering experiment. But we didn't see the Holy Spirit. But what else could explain these hard-headed German farmers from the Volga region, many of whom had never touched the hand of a black man or a black child, inviting them into their home and into their church and into their lives? What else could it be but the Holy Spirit? But we didn't see it that way. We didn't see it with those eyes or hold it with those hands. In 1990, or around that time, this congregation made a decision to be welcoming to all people. I've used this a number of times in sermons, and I keep bringing it up because it's so important that long time ago, before the rest of the church had really engaged in any really serious study and worked hard at it, you all made a decision to welcome gay, lesbian, transgendered, people of every color, of every race, of every political bent, to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm sure some of what happened here, I wasn't here, must have been horrible. I know it was. I know about the families who left. I know about the arguments you had. I know because I've read the letters to the pastor, which are on file in my office in a locked drawer, which for approximately a $700,000 donation, I will let you see. No, I'm just kidding. It was painful and horrible, and yet I wondered if you saw at that time the work of the Holy Spirit in what you were about. Jesus gave the gift of the advocate to the church. This one who brings peace and love and joy. This one who guides us into places that we might not otherwise imagine. And so I wonder, where do we see the Holy Spirit at work today and in our future? When the tongues of fire and the wind and the doves came down on the Holy Spirit, was spread out there among the people, and everyone was hearing the gospel in their own tongues, they asked, what does this mean? And that's still the question for us today. What does it mean for God's church to be a church of the Holy Spirit? Do we see with eyes that look for it? Do we hold our hands in a way that grasp it? Really, in the end, it's just about prayer and posture and people. This whole thing begins in prayer, and it's answered in the Holy Spirit. If you ever pray with pastors, I know many of you have, it's frightening. The pastors get together every month, and we pray together. We get in a big circle, and one of the pastors starts to pray, and they all sound the same. It's like we went to prayer school. I can do, you know, oh Lord, we invite you into our presence, that you would bless our gathering together, that we would be filled with your Holy Spirit and do the work of your word in this place and in this time. Bah! I remember, though, once gathering with a group, and we asked this young woman to pray, and she started in silence, and she just said, come, Holy Spirit. That was the whole prayer. And we all sat around waiting for more. Come, Holy Spirit. So us and our birthday in the church begin in prayer together. And we invite God into our lives in prayer. And then there's posture. You know, I think that the disciples could not have received the Holy Spirit had Jesus not spent the previous few years getting them ready for it. They were in a posture, as all of us can be. Whenever we want to receive new things, how do you usually start? Hands open, hands closed. If I want to give something to Aki, Aki might go. We so often live our lives in a posture of being closed to the possibility of what God might be about today. But what if we opened our posture as a church and as a people? And then it's the people that are the last part. Do you notice about this story? This story could have been done completely different. And the Holy Spirit came to all who were gathered wherever they happened to be at that moment. The Cretans in Crete. The Pamphylians in Pamphylia, those who were in the region of Cappadocia and Libya in their own places, hanging out in their living rooms. And the Holy Spirit came to them wherever they were, in their bathrooms, bedrooms, and libraries. And it rested upon them. And it was good. It's not the same story. And yet these days there seems to be a tremendous emphasis on personal spirituality to the exclusion of public faith. Personal spirituality is a fine and wonderful thing, but the problem with the Holy Spirit is it can't be contained just for me and for my sake, or for you and for your sake. Wherever two or three are gathered, I will be with them. Somehow that Spirit of Jesus, that Parakletos, that Advocate, finds itself gathered and weaving through wherever God's people come together. It takes people. Jesus didn't say to the disciples, I tell you what, you guys get some nice Barco loungers and watch what I'm about to do. I am going to send the Holy Spirit out into the world and all will be healed, and you can just watch. Jesus gave that Spirit to people, to you, so that you might be the church. Can you see it? Can you hold it in a new way? Can you experience in every part of your life to see with new eyes and to be made anew in the Spirit? On that day, the church was born, but it did not die. It was given as a gift to each of you. And you may not see it with fancy tricks or amazing magic. You may not see flames of fire except on the altar. And you may not see the little dove except for that one. But the Spirit rests in and through you for the sake of the world. Amen.